Good morning. Thank you. And welcome to First Baptist Church. It's so good to be together. And congratulations if you made it here this morning with a dish for the potluck. It's quite something to pull that off, to get yourself and your family members and some food to church in time for church. But we thank you for making it. And we do invite all of you to stick around after worship for our annual financial meeting, which will be happening downstairs starting right around 11:15. And when we are done with our meeting, we will then enjoy our potluck lunch. I want to say a special welcome back to our choir director, Bonnie Kidd. We're so grateful for you and glad you are on the road to recovery and so happy to have you back with us. We love you. I invite you to take a few moments this morning to read various announcements in your bulletin insert related to congregational life, and also invite you to take a moment this morning to fill out the connection card inside your bulletin, and you can drop that in the offering plate later in the service. God's love is among us and upon us and within us, and is the whole reason that we have been drawn here this morning. So let's respond now with our love and with the yearnings that spring from love as we bring our hearts and our whole lives to this moment to worship the living God.
Would those who are able please stand? I invite you to pray with me. Holy and eternal God, in you we live and move and have our being. We acknowledge that you are with us today as we gather for worship. Guide and govern us by your Spirit, that we may both remember and reveal your presence. Through our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The glory that belongs to God. The voice of God speaks majesty and power.
May God give us strength. May God bless us with peace.
Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Before we go any further, I think I should say something about my voice, because this isn't it. Though the good news is, about 3 hours ago, it was 2 octaves lower. I say it because I regret it, and I regret it because I know that it poses a distraction when we want to hear something important and it just sounds sick. If it's a distraction for you, I'm sorry, and I ask you to get over it. Having cleared the way, let us now intentionally and as deeply as we can open ourselves to the hearing of God's word from the Psalms. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to God with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In God's hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea belongs to God, and all he made it all, and the dry land which his hands have formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For the Lord is our God. We are the people of God's own pasture. We are the sheep of God's own hand. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Pray with me. Holy God, we do praise you. You are our beginning and you will be our end. You are life and you are abundant life. We praise you and we thank you for giving us such life, for creating this day, for creating this very moment in which every grace is available to us from you. We thank you for the gifts of creation, for our world which tells of your glory. We pray for those who make decisions about the resources of the earth, that we may use your gifts responsibly. We pray for artists and scientists and visionaries, that through their work, we may see creation in fresh ways. Awaken in all of us a sense of wonder for the earth and all that is in it. Teach us to care creatively for its resources. We pray for this good earth and for all the creatures in it. We pray also for all who are deprived of fullness of life, for prisoners, for refugees, for those who are sick. We pray for all who work for a better world and who seek to bring life to others, for those in politics, healthcare, social work, relief work, education, and for your church everywhere. Empower us to be vessels for your abundant life for all. In hope, we pray for those we know to name before you now. We pray for the family and friends of Valerie Hill and Corley Bracken. We pray for the family and friends for Alberto Perez Sosa. We pray for Eva Kelly, Phil White, Joan and Lynn Blunt, Pat Hubel, Bruce and Vicki Williams, Marilyn Marsh, Juanita Dieterle, Iris Martin, John Rapson, Enyichukwa Obinba, Robert L., Nick Dodson, Adam Guerrero, for Sherry Myers, Catherine, the Russ family, Amy B., for Jim, the Lindgren family, Diana Ellis, Joan, Doug, for Bert Lampkin, Rebecca Levinson, for Randy, David, Luke, Xu Yu, and the people of Hong Kong. We also offer you our private prayers in silence. Blessed are you, God of growth and discovery. Yours is the inspiration that has altered our lives. Yours is the power that has brought us to new opportunities. Help us, your new creation, to walk through your beloved world, watching and learning, loving and trusting, shining with your light until your kingdom comes. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
A reminder from the book of Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. The word of the Lord. I invite the children to come forward for a time of, as children.
Like for us to start by listing some of the things we do at church, some of the things we love to do at church. I'm going to have you be the writer. Can you do it down here on this bottom part? Can you tell me, somebody tell me something we do at church? Samuel, pray. You can write like a big Escher. Sing. Okay, what's something else we do here at church? Love. We love here at church. Yeah, Samuel. Sometimes we eat. I think every day we eat. Every Sunday we eat. Ah, yeah. Sometimes we eat good snacks. Yeah, good. Escher. We talk. Good. What else do we do here at church? Do we ever laugh? Yeah, laugh. Okay. Eve. What were you thinking? Did you have another idea? No? Okay. Yes.
Learn.
We learn. What else? We live. Yeah. Jamie, we move, we pray, we sing, we love, we eat, we talk, we laugh, we learn, we live, we move. Do we sometimes cry when we're at church? Sometimes we cry too here together. Yeah. I want to add, we welcome all people. Can you put that welcome? A warm, big welcome for all people. Here's another thing I know, Asher. We hug. I know you guys come to church and you ask big questions. I love that. We ask big questions here. Good. So today, Pastor Paul, in his deep voice, shared a psalm with us. It's from the middle of the Bible, if you open up, right about the middle, part of the Old Testament. At the very beginning of that psalm, it said, "O come, let us." So can you write that? O come, big O, yeah. O come, let us. And then there was a whole bunch of things that the psalmist wrote about worship.
Should I just write O come?
Then you can do come, yep, and then let us. So you can fit that all in there. O come, let us. So you just wrote the first part of the psalm in your version. O come, let us pray and sing. O come, let us love and eat. O come, let us talk and laugh and learn and live and move. O come, let us cry. Welcome all people. Let us hug. Let us ask questions. That's what worship is about. And then the second part of the psalm says, "For the Lord is." It doesn't say, "Come, let us do all of these things," because it's all about us. Worship isn't all about us. Worship is also mostly about God. So we do all those things here at church, "For the Lord is" what? Can we fill some of those things in? We do all those things because God is what, Samuel? Great. What are other ways to describe God? Escher, awesome. What's another way to describe God? I see you thinking, Eve. Thankful. The Lord is thankful. Escher, kind. What else do you think? Can we have a couple more to add? Eve. Helpful. Teresa. Nice. Escher.
Careful.
Sorry, careful. Nice. Careful. Forgiving. Thank you for being my scribe. Forgiving. So, this is what worship's about. We come and we do all those things. Eat snacks together, laugh, learn, ask big questions, cry, laugh, move. For the Lord is, will you say this part with me as I point at the word, will you say it? For the Lord is great, awesome, thankful, kind, helpful, nice, careful, forgiving. Yeah. We do all of those things because God is all of these things. And I want to give you a little update. Another thing we do together at church is gather and collect underwear. And we have done such a good job of that because we come to church to also hear about people's needs. And we heard that a need was that people that don't have a place to stay need underwear and have a hard time getting it. So we brought underwear, and we were hoping to get to 300. We were hoping to get to 300. Do you know how many we got to? 526. You did it. Yeah. That's awesome. And we do all those things because God is all of these things. Amen. Let's use our walking feet and we'll head to Sunday school.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me, please? God, in the hearing now of inadequate mortal words, may we find ourselves in the depths, hearing a living word that sets us free and that sends us to a world in need of healing. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you think much about why it is you come here? I don't mean to this church in particular. I mean, why you spend Sunday mornings going to any church for a worship service with all these people sitting and standing and sitting again? The hymns, preachers talking, passing of plates, the choir, so much more, and from a distance, it can look a little odd. It's also easy to smirk at people who do it on the regular. Yet most of us here do it every Sunday that we possibly can. Others of you less often, but here you are. How come? Me, I get paid. What's your excuse? Somebody else in the family just haul you along? It happens. Or maybe this has just always been your habit, and a very good one. Not much need to think about why. Or you come for some inspiration, hoping for it, some comfort, clarity, as there is so much madness and weariness in the world that this helps to make it through. Maybe it's thought-provoking, and you come here for that. And there's the aesthetic part, the beauty of it, especially the music. And one of our biggest reasons, for many of us, it's the people that we are lucky beyond belief to join with in worship here. I don't want to brag or nothing, but some of the coolest people on this planet are in this room. Bright, passionate, perceptive, thoughtful, generous, deeply caring, committed to what's right, and funny. I love being with you people. You make me want to be a better person. And I love how much laughter does happen here. Good laughter is a sound that freedom makes. I love that we can cry here together. This too is our freedom. Most of all, of course, we come to worship for a deepening connection with the divine, a fresh encounter with the living God. How thrilling to lift up praise together for the source of the universe, the giver of ultimate love. How freeing to confess where we have gone wrong and to find ourselves held in perfect grace. How empowering to hear a word from beyond us and be moved to respond, to consider the world's aching need, what our part in it might be, by what power healing can come even through us. To worship for God's sake is to worship for the world's sake, too. And to reorient ourselves with reference to the world, because constantly out there we're being told lies, vicious and subtle about who we are, what we're worth, what we need, what we had better accept, what we need to ignore, how we are to go along, how we are to hate, how we are to hoard and judge, and how we are to be joyless. But in the praise of God and hearing the truth and giving ourselves to the Spirit, we remember again who we are. Worship is so much about remembering. Is that enough reason for you to come here and do this? But do remember also how vast a multitude we're part of as we do this. At this moment, and in every moment of every day and every night, worship is lifted over all the world in countless languages, from every shade of skin, in countless different cultural clothing. Worship is offered across the globe without ceasing. And it has been so, unceasing worship, for almost 2,000 years, almost certainly, since not long after the time of Jesus, Christian worship has been ceaseless. And now has come our moment to step inside that great, rolling, massive stream and lift our part of the endless song. That's good. Which doesn't make sense, and in fact is dumb, and is a waste of everybody's time if what happens in worship is paltry, trivial. Moralisms, self-help, a splurge of guilt and release, positive thinking, some theological tiddlywinks, some therapy, some railing against the bad people, a shot of something to help us feel better. Reassurance that basically we're the ones who pretty much have it right. If that's what worship is, then worship ought to die. But worship doesn't die, because no matter how poorly it gets done, worship at its heart concerns the ultimate. All that matters most matters here. Truth. Personhood. Relationship. Justice. Grace. Love. All of creation. And in it all, the ultimate one. Worship is encounter with the living God, holy, creative power, unimaginable, eternal mind, devastating, pure, infinite love. In worship, we bow our lives to that. We lift up praise, confession, gratefulness, and in light of the divine presence, we remember who we are. And we find the world with us. And we hear ourselves called to live better in and for and with the world. Friends, we are here for no trivial purpose. This is ultimate. Years ago, I was leading a workshop for pastors on worship. Just to get things started, I open with the question, what do you look for in the service of worship? The pastors started to answer. They said, honesty, warmth, expressiveness, inclusion, thoughtfulness, celebration, love. Later that day, I repeated the workshop for a different group of pastors. I asked the same question, what do you look for in a service of worship? And those guys, it was guys, gave me mostly the same answers. We want it to be real and expressive and a celebration and warm, etc. Finally, one old pastor said, shouldn't we say something about God? About reverence and awe in the presence of God? Why is it so easy to forget? Because it's a little bit scary, truth be told. Because it might get too intimate. Because it might require something more of us in worship as well as beyond it. It might be too vulnerable and too demanding. Yes, what is required and demanded of us in worship as well as afterward is a great deal. This is no occasion for being passive observers. We're here to be fully engaged participants in every aspect of this hour. Soren Kierkegaard famously compared worship to a theater event. He said most people approach worship as if the ministers were the actors on a stage, and God was prompting them, and the congregation was the audience, liking it or not. He said, if we come to worship truly, we realize that in fact, the preachers are the prompters. The congregation are the actors giving all they've got on stage. And the audience is God. The New Testament Greek word for worship, liturgia, from which we get our word liturgy. Liturgia means literally the service of the people. So when praise is sung here, we all by intention blend our personal praise into it. When somebody offers a prayer, we lean into it to make it our prayer too. When scripture is read, we open ourselves with deliberateness to hear as deeply as we're able. When a sermon is preached, we try at least to listen intentionally and actively, adding our own connections, maybe sometimes our disagreements. Fine by me. We let the music carry us. Through all the music and the silences, we reflect on purpose and we pray. Through it all, on purpose, we open our minds, our hearts, our lives, and seek to give ourselves back to God. Now, let's face it, often enough, it falls flat. As far as we're concerned, the music didn't connect. The sermon was boring. It really was. The whole thing seemed uninspired and uninspiring. Well, maybe that would have been less the case if we had engaged more intentionally and been more open to the Spirit engaging us. But let's admit it, sometimes it's just not very good. That is where we may need reminding that the real work of worship is not in the hour of it, but in the long, long rhythm over time of gathering together and engaged by the Spirit, engaging the truth of ourselves, the truth of the beautiful, traumatized world, the truth of who we are, the truth of divine justice and compassion, and to surround it all in praise and prayer and deep listening, receptive to the Spirit's power. All in the good company of each other, over time, over time. It shapes who we are. It shapes how we live. It transforms. I don't know that we have got a better shot of becoming more deeply truthful people, more faithful, more compassionate, more perceptive, more empowered people than by gathering ourselves in the vibrant practice of worship together as often as we can. We talk about rebooting these days. Starting fresh, getting back to the basics of what makes us healthier, saner, growing children of God. Try committing yourself again, or for the very first time, to the practice of worship every possible week and with all the active engagement you can bring. Transformation is awaiting, and not just for you. One of my heroes in the pastorate was named Carlisle Marnie. Brilliant, prophetic, deeply caring, a powerful facilitator of worship. One day, Marnie was stunned by the sight of a sculpture. The sculpture of the return of the prodigal son to his father. The positions of those two men's bodies, the expressions on their faces showed an astonishing depth of feeling, such brokenness and tenderness and regret and pure welcome. The artist was there, a young man. Marnie didn't know him, but said to him, "Where did you learn such compassion?" And the young artist replied, "From sitting on the back row of your church for years." I want to be better. I want to do more growing. I want to go on being transformed into someone who truly lives in the light. You? What if worship is a key to that possibility? I believe that it is. I say we return to each other over and over and over again for just this. New transformations are awaiting us, and by our worship and the worship of our people throughout the world and throughout all time, transformations are also awaiting still this world. worshipfully. Let's make our offering. Honor, glory, blessing, and praise be to you, Almighty God. And may our lives be lifted to you always, in love, as you have loved us, and as you command us to love. Amen.
Thank you.
Dear friends, wonderful people, children of God, blessed with the grace that binds us together and sends us to the world, let us give to each other now the best of gifts. The peace of Christ be with you.